Josh Freeman Show.
Freeman, the pass toward the end zone. Toward the end zone. It's caught! Touchdown, Tampa Bay Buccaneers!
Now here's Buccaneers quarterback Josh Freeman and your host, Scott Ledger.
I got you, number five. I get you for a whole hour.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because you've been popping up everywhere, man. I'm seeing you on the television a lot, the Jim Rome radio, Sirius Satellite. I even asked you this a couple weeks ago. I said, how do you think you're going to feel about it? But it's part of the chore of doing what you do. And what's that been like before we get to the fun of playing football?
It's been a unique opportunity. You know, obviously, I guess it's not that obvious, but I mean, I'm not really a big media guy. Like, I don't really want the attention, want the spotlight. I just want to go out and play good football and try to find a way to win. You know,
I was having that conversation about you this afternoon over at 6:20 with Whitney Johnson, as a matter of fact. We were saying the exact same thing about you. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather just go about my business and play football, maybe do a piece that's kind of funny, interesting, maybe that'll benefit another teammate. But I really just kind of want to avoid the spotlight and go about my business winning football games.
Other than your quote, of course, was, other than the Rams comeback, doing an hour of radio with Ledge every week is the highlight of my NFL career. That part you left out.
No. I don't count. This is like my
this is your zen place.
This is my treat of the week.
Okay.
You know,
All right.
You look at guys.
Don't oversell it now, because if you oversell it, I'm going to lose you.
No, man. No. I really do have a blast.
All right, let's get to the fun stuff. You know, we kept talking. You know, last week you were saying, you know, we only had four possessions the whole first half. It's hard to get off to a fast start when you're barely touching the football. This week, your defense comes up. Gerald McCoy gets a big paw and a ball, and you guys get good field position. And it didn't take long. Let me ask you about the first play, because you did this a couple of times, where you pulled the ball down real quick and decided to run real quick. Was that a coverage thing on the very first 5-yard run there?
Yeah, a little bit of one. You know, I'm fortunate that the O-line did such a great job picking it up. It was actually a blitz, and I thought I was going to have Eric Lorig in the flat right away. And they dropped the defensive end. Normally, defensive end drops, gets a little depth, and Lorig outflanks him right away. You put it on him, it's an easy 10-yard gain. Mm-hmm. But this time, the end stuck to Lorig like glue. The guy jumped a slant on Mike Williams, and there's really nowhere to go with the ball. So I dropped back, looked, tried to get Mike in the second window, and still wasn't there, so then I took off.
Let me ask you about the tight end, too. Congratulations to Johnny Gilmore. Had a great game. Johnny came into the game with 3 receptions, ends up leaving with 3, and you guys really seem to work the tight ends more. I think you made that completion. You kind of flipped the formation, and it was almost the same play for a completion later on. I don't even remember if it was Gilmore, but That's a big 29-yard play right there. Really starting to see a lot of diversity, I guess we could say, in the offense.
Yeah, no doubt. Coach Olson mixes it up extremely well. You know, every week he finds a way to keep the defense off balance and put us in a position to go out and perform well.
All right, then we get to, you know, the throw in the flat to Aurelius, and he makes another one of those athletic moves. You know, when you draft a player and you hear about, oh, he runs a 4 this or he jumps this high and stuff, it can equate on a field, and other times you can say, wow, that guy got around that guy quick and the athletic move to dive to the pylon. We're seeing quite a little athlete there in Mr. Ben, aren't we?
No doubt. And we've seen it from day one. I mean, Regis is a guy that he's always been just really a physical specimen. You know, he's just jacked. I mean, he runs extremely well, has great hands. And really, we just want to try to find a way to get the ball in his hands, because we know he'll break a tackle and we know he'll do something special with it.
All right, so let's get to the next drive. They end up with a field goal to match our touchdown, and then it turns into the LeGarrette Blount show, 12 yards. Before I get to more of his runs, I want to ask you about the Josh Johnson play where he came in. You're standing on the sideline looking all nonchalant, like, I'm just, shooting it here with the coach, waiting for the timeout to end. And all of a sudden, just when they start the clock, you just step right off the field. And obviously, that's another play. That's something you practice, I would imagine, the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. Josh Johnson, we feel like we have a great contributor, great athlete, a great quarterback in Josh Johnson. And really, we just want to find ways to get him on the field, because we know when he's on the field that he's going to find a way. And with the ball in his hands, he's going to make something happen. So, I mean, having that little package in, I thought it was great to see Josh go out there and put his athletic ability on display.
Yeah, because Blunt gets his 12, he gets his 14, and then LeGarrette busts another big run for 24, another short one to him, and then it was like two 17-yarders, but yeah. You've obviously seen the highlight film of him. I don't know, looks like he's breakdancing there or something. Yeah. Like his head's on the ground, his hand's on the ground, and his balls. I mean, what's a team see? Did you guys see that on the big screen?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've seen numerous replays.
Yeah.
You know, on the field, I just caught the tail end of it. I saw the matchup where it was LeGarrette on the safety one-on-one, and then one of the O-linemen ran in front of me. I didn't get to see the whole jump and spin live action, but no, I just remember seeing, like, his leg flying up in the air, and remember, and he was like, he has a one-on-one. Just run the guy over, you know? But that's LeGarrette, though. He's an exciting player. Made an exciting play. I kind of got on him like, hey, good thing you held on to that ball. But, that's something that playmakers do. They make plays, and LeGarrette definitely did that.
It's great to see the Buccaneer offense. As much as field goals are a huge part of this game, and there are going to be games when it's, you know, three kicks to two kicks and those type of games. It could be an inclement weather kind of thing. But it's really great to see you guys, not exchanging too many good red zone opportunities for field goals instead. You know, again, later on before the half, you guys, you know, this time around, and I got to talk to you about Kellen Winslow because, you know, last couple of games, you know, they started rolling a little bit, you know, they seemed like they kept rolling protection to him. But now I think Mike Williams is really starting to draw attention to him. And tell us about that drive with you and Winslow. I mean, and the pass interference call, too, because you did go to him on that play, too.
Yeah. No, it's definitely – defenses are definitely put in a predicament. You know, that's for sure. Because you've got Kellen working the middle. You got Mike working on the outside. You can call it coverage. Name your coverage. And you're either giving up Kellen down the middle or you're giving up Mike working the outside. So, I mean, really pick your poison.
And then he gets Beeson to – basically mug him.
No, Beeson was mugging him the entire game. But, I mean, you got to have a lot of respect for John Beeson, the type of player he is.
Sure.
But him and Kellen both have Miami roots.
So yes, they do.
It's, yeah, it's awesome, right, to go out there and watch those two get after it. But I got to say, I think Kellen got the best of him on Sunday.
I thought you threw an interesting ball to Spurlock in the end zone in the far corner there. It looked like he could have come back for that ball. I'm not trying to, you know, throw him under the bus. But sometimes if you wait for the ball to come to you, it's not a good thing. It just seemed like he might have had a chance to complete it if he had come back, but that was still a pretty good throw.
You know, it was a tough deal. You know, you got Gamble trying to jump everything.
Yeah.
Initially, I wanted to look off, maybe see if Kellen was going to pop wide open. And when he didn't, I came back thinking I was going to throw it to Preston Parker, and I saw Gamble jumping Preston Parker and kind of overlapping, leaving Michael Spurlock outside on the edge. And, I mean, those are one of the balls that if I were a wide receiver, I would hate to have thrown to me. You know,
sure.
Not because they were targeting me, but because that thing seemed like it hung in the air forever. The defender almost had enough time to get back and make a play on it. But, nonetheless, I should have put it in the back of the end zone. We'd had an easy touchdown, no drama. But then again, if that would have happened, Kellen wouldn't have had his great touchdown.
You know, it's interesting. Sometimes you can't get the play back, and you end up looking back at it after a loss, but then you turn right around, and Kellen, as much as anybody else, has wanted to get in the end zone. And I think you kind of willed the ball to him, and he willed it in a crazy catch with two guys draped over him. That was a rocket. That was a laser beam.
That wasn't a laser beam.
That was a dart.
Really Kellen Winslow flexing his muscles on the safety and the linebacker. You know, I just put the ball in a spot where Kellen would have an opportunity to make a play on it, and Kellen did what he always does, and he made a play on it. You know, I'd go to bat for Kellen if there was an argument saying he has the best hands in the NFL, because I mean I see him day in and day out making really exceptional, ridiculous catches. And I mean, that's something that when we get in that situation, I feel like I can go to him and he's going to make something happen.
Well, I hope he bores us to death with those catches for the rest of his career.
Hey, me too.
That guy is he's a highlight machine, I got to tell you. You know, they get a couple of field goals. It's 21-16. You know, you guys get the ball in your 20 this fourth quarter. I want to talk about a drive that got us a field goal, but, you know, it just seemed like, again, more yardage. You start off with a big 20-yarder to Ben. Talk about that play.
Yeah, no. Like I said, you know, Aurelius is really stepping up. And what a lot of people didn't see on that play, I mean, Mike Williams ran a great route, kind of drew the attention of most of the defensive backs, and then Aurelius had a cornerback running man-to-man with him, and he ran a great route to get enough separation, and another rookie, Eric Lorig, did a great job in protection, allowed me to get back. He was blocking a defensive end. I got to step up and give Aurelius a chance to make a play on the ball. And I mean, there are just so many working parts, and it really is awesome to see I guess the youth of our team stepping up and making plays.
It really is. It's and downfield blocks, too. We'll talk about that because I want to talk about Caddy's run. But Mike Williams, another couple of great catches. Connor Barth gets us a field goal, 24-16. And then, you know, the defense has dialed it up in the second half almost every single game this year. They've gotten the stops for you when you needed those stops. Either they held the team like a couple of times that I just referenced to field goals when they started off with good field position, or they're starting to get you the ball back with time on the clock. Now, I know your head coach says score and get the ball back, which is what the defense is uses their theme. But they're getting you the ball back, and it's great to see the offense churn up some yards. But let's talk about that last couple of plays by Cadillac Williams. Talk about his role and how he's just such a team player. He, you know, him and EG, I think, are the model football player, running backs, guys that, you know, really, really put a lot of their heart and soul into their career, you know?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, they're all around just, I mean, great guys on the team. I guarantee you ask everybody on the team who exemplifies, I mean, the perfect teammate, perfect football player.
Yeah.
And I'd say 98%, 99% of the people in the building name either Cadillac Williams or Ernest Graham, because both those guys, I mean, what they do might not get all the ink, might not get all the press, but at the same time, it's a huge, huge deal in what we're trying to do.
You know, when you watch a basketball team, you'll always hear about the sixth man or the, you know, utility guy who plays, you know, three or four positions on a baseball team. And then you step back and you look at every team is going to have a marquee player or two at something. But the whole concept of team is made up, and the fabric of that is made up by the Cadillac Williams of the leagues, by the Ernest Grahams of the leagues, you know. And so much for having lost a step, huh? How about that last touchdown when he hits that hole? And there's got a couple of guys that had angles on him, and we're talking defensive backs.
Yeah.
Describe it from your angle.
You know, from my angle, I mean, he hit it, and I remember when he got the first down, I was like, yeah, we got this first down, game's over. And then he just kept going, and when it looked like a defensive back had an angle, he just kept going. You know, he pulled away, and I mean, watching that thing the next day on film, you're like, golly, man, he's moving, he's turning those legs, and I mean, he really was. And what was so crazy about it was we were in the huddle right before, and I mean, guys are talking about what they think we should do, and I could tell them what the play is, and they're like, oh, okay. And then Cadillac's like, why would anybody want to pass the ball right now? I'm just going to score it right here. Why not? And I was just like, all right.
Go call the shot.
I was like, all right, then. Handed it to him.
See ya.
Yeah.
I'll be down in the end zone to help you celebrate, but let's not celebrate and get 15-yard penalties.
Yeah, no, that was a great play, great individual effort by Cadillac Williams. I mean, the O-line really took care of the first of the defensive front and a couple of the linebackers, but Preston Parker had a great block that play. Mike Williams had a block that play. And Cadillac really did the rest.
If I were to say to you, 18 of 24, that's a 75% completion percentage, 241 yards. What I love about this is yards per attempt is over 10 yards. It's about 10.4. A couple of touchdowns, no picks. You did get sacked once, you know, a quarterback rating of 134. It sounds pedestrian, sounds about, you know, maybe a good average game for a good quarterback. But doesn't that just a complete statement to having the balance of LeGarrette and Cadillac on the running side of the ball, you know? And just it really seems like you had over 400 yards of offense. That hasn't been happening here a lot, Josh.
Yeah,
you know, this is one of the new identities of this team. And when people are talking, believe me, I listen. I sit there and listen to people talking, swapping beers and stories, watching football games. And there's lots of people mentioning the offense of the Buccaneers. Yeah, it's a pretty big thing.
Yeah.
I know it isn't to you. It's just your job.
Yeah,
it's
your
job. You know.
You know. I mean, at our job, the minute you want to relax and pat yourself on the back, that's the minute you go out and play a terrible game.
Good point.
That's the minute where you find a way to lose a game rather than finding a way to win the game. So, I mean, our mentality, our attitude, yeah, I mean, you're going to feel good about yourself for winning. But at the same time, you have to realize and understand and give credit to what allowed you to be in the position to win in the first place, which is coming in and week out, giving it everything you got in preparation, and then going out on the field and trusting your training and really just executing.
I love it. Hillsboro, let's get you guys on the phones. Get ready to talk to your quarterback. The Josh Freeman Show is for you, the fan. Hillsboro, 813-990-4620. Got two open lines right there. Jump on them. Pinellas, we also have two open lines, 727-461-4620, and two more open lines at the toll-free 1-800-596-BUCKS. We'll come back and talk a little bit about the big play, if you will, or the explosive play, as they call it in the NFL, because the Buccaneers are on a record pace to shatter what they've been normally doing over the last 7 or 8 years. But, again, the offense is really starting to move the ball down the field. We'll come back and take your phone calls. It is the Josh Freeman Show. No show tomorrow night for Buccaneers Total Access because they're jumping on an airplane tomorrow, and we'll be talking about 49er game as well. Coming back right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Josh Freeman Show on your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE and US 1035. Once again, Buccaneers quarterback Josh Freeman and your host Scott Ledger.
All right, guys, let's get these phones, burn it up, talk to your quarterback. No Josh Freeman Show next week, of course. It'll be Thanksgiving. So this will be your last time to talk to him for a couple of weeks. We're going to go, let me see, Joe, you're on deck. We're going to Brian first. You're on tonight with Josh Freeman. Welcome to the show, Brian.
Hey, thanks, Ledge. Mr. Freeman, I want to say something and then ask a question. The first thing I'd like to say is you are just such an impressive young man, and I think I'm speaking on behalf of the entire Bay Area, that everything you're doing and everything you're saying is so great for this area. So I want to thank you for that. Between the time you put in the off season to the success you're having now, my guess is that it's a compliment to your parents and your coaches, and I just wanted to thank you for what you're doing.
Thanks, Brian.
And
yeah, go ahead.
My question is two phase. Right now, you're starting to become part of the national media with Dan Patrick and with our 4 o'clock game coming up. Conversely, we don't have we're not selling out the stadium. As a player, how does all that work when I know you're just trying to concentrate on winning ball games? And again, thank you for doing what you're doing and keep up the great work.
Hey, I appreciate it, Brian. Well, I mean, you talk about our team. I mean, we're finding a way to win games. And you talk about not filling up the stadium. You know, I mean, we understand, we realize that it is, a tough economic situation for a lot of people. And, I mean, we just want to go out and continue to find a way to win these games and represent the Bay Area in a positive manner. You know, we want to be, an aspect that people take pride in. You know, they say, hey, I'm from Tampa Bay. They're out visiting relatives, wherever. They're talking to their friends. I'm a Tampa Bay Bucks fan. And how are the Bucks doing? The Bucks are doing great. They're winning a lot of football games. We want to be, a source of pride for the area. You know, that's really what we want to be. Sure, would we like to sell out every game? Yeah, we would. But, we realize it's a tough sledding for a lot of people. So, I mean, we're really happy with the people that have shown up. You know, the stadium does still get pretty loud, you know, even though I can't remember what the total attendance was for the last game. But they cranked it up on third down pretty good. So, I mean, we appreciate the fans that can be there. And, those of you who can't, I guess we're with you in spirit. We appreciate you guys being around and still the constant support. You know, that's a big part in what we do.
That's number five, Josh Freeman. It is the Josh Freeman Show on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Got an open line right since Brian dropped off at 813-990-4620. We're going to Joe. Joe, welcome to the program. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, Josh. I just like the comment about the offense. I think, Ernest Graham has got to be utilized a little more. I mean, all your running backs are good. I know Blunt's doing an exceptionally good job, and Cadillac's a great running back, but I think on that fourth and short play, if they would have handed it off to Graham on it from the fullback position, he would have got that first down against the Falcons. And another thing I'm going to hit on real quick is I like the way you steal those first down when you run on, like, you know, second and long or third and long. That's good, too, and I hope you keep that up. Thank you.
Hey, thanks.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it.
Yeah, Joe. One thing about Ernest Graham, I mean, he's he was out the past few weeks with a hamstring, so, I mean, he wasn't even on the active roster for the Atlanta game. So, I mean, I really do think that we would have given him an opportunity on fourth and one had he been suited up and 100% to go. But, I mean, he's back. He's having a great week of practice.
Yeah, he's back practicing all this week, full practice.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah, no, he's yeah. He's full practice. I mean, he's been doing a great job.
Another weapon returns.
Yeah, no yep. doubt, no doubt. And yeah, about our scrambling for first downs. You know, I guess you could say I'm an opportunist. You know, I want to try to find a way to extend drives, and if the pass isn't there, I mean, I'm going to do everything I can to get that first down because I like scoring and I like winning.
No. Did you get a chance to see Michael Vick on Monday?
Yeah, it's insane.
He's fun to watch, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He is. He's playing great football right now. You know, it's pretty cool to see a guy get a – obviously had his whole deal, you know, but, I mean, he got a second opportunity and he's sure. making the most of it. You know, it's pretty awesome.
It is a quarterback-driven league. We're going right back to the phones. Got another open line at 727-461-4620. Jason, you're on with Josh Freeman. Welcome.
Hey, Ledge, Josh. Thank you for taking
it. Oh, did we lose him?
I think so.
Just call us back.
Jason?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead. We lost you there for a second, bro.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, first of all, great show, Ledge. And Josh, first of all, you're an outstanding young man, a great football player. And I actually got two questions for you. Is it true that your dad was a Hall of Fame linebacker at Pitt? And my second question is, what was it quarterback that you always wanted to play? Like, what age did you really start playing football? And was it quarterback in that you always wanted? Or what was, like, the age that you actually started playing football and stuff?
All right. Well, my dad's actually it's Pittsburgh State, and he was a nose tackle. And, yeah, he's in the Hall of Fame, you know, and he's really been an inspiration to me. I mean, he's a man that taught me really everything I know about being a man and everything I know about really playing the game of football, you know. So my dad, he's an awesome dude. But
is he bragging on you at all?
You know, I'm sure he is.
You should be.
You know,
but, like getting in the line at the bank or something like that. Like, yeah. Hey, did you catch my son the other day?
Yeah, no doubt. One thing that I guess we didn't agree with was he didn't start letting me play, I guess, full contact pads, helmet, tackle football until fifth grade. I was pretty frustrated. But, yeah, I guess, I mean, I've been playing football for as long as I can remember. But my first year of, I guess, organized shoulder pads, helmet, that whole deal was fifth grade.
You were actually looking at an article that I brought in. I wanted to show it to you. It was actually written locally here by, I believe, Rick Stroud, but it was in last Sunday's paper. It was before the game you played, but it was an interesting article, and I wanted to bring it up because the Buccaneer offense, you know, for years was more of a throw it under, dink and dunk, check down. But ever since you came aboard and the fleet of foot wideouts that you now have, you guys are going to and have been taking more shots downfield, but it was interesting that those things, you're setting teams up, you're looking for those opportunities. But give me an example of there's three different ways you'll do it. One is a hot read. Give me an example of the three different ways you take a shot deep.
Oh, you know, as far as just straight up shots, I'd say the most common way is play action.
Okay.
You know, we'll catch a team in a certain coverage, or Coach Olson, and we'll know that they're going to be playing a certain coverage that's acceptable to a certain play, and we'll call that play on that certain down and distance, and usually we'll get the coverage and we'll get an opportunity to take a shot. The second way, if they all out blitz, you know, I mean, and that's usually either a slant or some it's a one-on-one matchup outside with Mike Williams, and we feel like we're going to win that most of the time, so. And like the one that Michael Spurlock, so they're all out blitzing us. So we've got a one-on-one matchup outside, and that's kind of like, okay, my guy's better than your guy. It's like backyard football, basically. That's what it turns into. You just drop back, and there's one guy who's counting to five Mississippi, and he's rushing. Nobody can block him, and that's the one guy you got to beat to get the ball out. So you got to find, you got to identify the protection, identify who that guy is going to be, and then you got to find your matchup outside that you want to exploit.
All right, Ryan, Michael, and Skip, I actually got a full boat. Hang on one second, guys. This is just a follow-up on this, is because Ole says there's one rule on a deep ball. What's the rule?
Give the guy a chance.
Make it, what, a catchable ball or a playable ball?
We call it an opportunity ball. Okay. You know, you see so many plays wasted when you have a guy running downfield with a defender who's just barely keeping up with him, completely all out of – he's out of sorts because he's running as hard as he can, you know. He's just trying to catch up and find a way to get in the way. And if you throw the ball and you overthrow the guy, I mean, it's basically a wasted play. You
it's
know?
A cardinal well, sin.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's almost as bad as – I wouldn't say almost as bad as throwing an interception. But, I mean, it's still – you want to give him an opportunity, you know. You want to – obviously you want to throw the perfect ball, but you don't want to overthrow the perfect ball. You want to line it up perfect, and you just – when you overshoot him, I mean, it's just pointless. Completely pointless. So I guess the concept behind an opportunity ball is when you have really a one-on-one matchup outside and you have a defensive back running with your receiver trying to keep up, and he's in a full sprint. He's just trying to figure out where the receiver is going. And
yeah, he's not going to be looking back for the ball. He's barely, you know, running under control, barely.
Yeah, and if you see the backs of the defender's numbers and you can get the ball up, the chances of an interception are really small. You know, the chances of your guy making a play or breaking up the pass, it's I wouldn't call it 50-50, because I feel like our guys give us a better chance than that. But I mean, it really is gives them an opportunity, you know.
And we'll add the caveat at the end of that is perfect example is right after that flea flicker.
Yep.
You underthrew it a little bit, but we Ben came back for the ball and drew the penalty.
Yeah.
So something good came from that.
If the defender can't see the ball and he's really just trying to run to catch up, then if the receiver goes back and tries to make a play on the ball and the defender's in the way,
that's face guarding.
There's a yellow flag.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it should have been at the 6-yard line. Anybody wasn't paying attention. All right, let's get back to these phones. We've got a full boat load. Let's move through you guys. Skip and Michael, stand by. Everybody right behind them, we're coming to you. Ryan, you're on with Josh Freeman.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's up, Ryan?
Hey, Josh, I went to school with you at K-State. We actually met a couple times and ended up down here in Tampa. We got season tickets now. It's been really fun to kind of watch you progress through your career. My question kind of pertains to both of those, and that's what has changed since your time in game preparation at K-State to now being a Buck with Coach Ra and some of the guys that have kind of come with you, too. I know Jay's there. What's changed in terms of watching? Yeah. What's changed in terms of watching game film and game preparation in college and then again now here in the Bucs? And I'll hang up and listen, and thanks for what you guys are doing. It's been a lot of fun to watch.
Hey, thanks a lot. No, yeah, it's awesome you mentioned Jay, man. He's an awesome dude. No, but I'd say, I mean, from Kansas State to here, you know, the offense is fairly similar. I guess my approach to pregame preparation and my work throughout the week is similar. The only difference is instead of having whatever 15 hours of worth of classes each semester and 8 hours worth of study hall each week and all these other little extracurricular things you have to do being a student athlete, now you're just the NFL football player. Athlete is it's your thing and you can devote all your time to it. So having the opportunity to really spend all my time focused on football rather than having to worry about biochemistry and art class. I mean, it's been working for me. I mean, I love football, so it's perfect combo for me.
You love what you do. It's never work. Michael, you're on with Josh Freeman. Welcome to the show.
I'm telling you, I'm talking to Tampa Bay's hero.
Don't go that
far. Both of you guys. But Josh Freeman, I'm telling you, you deserve all the respect in the world. It seems like you're getting that all from your teammates because everybody talks about you like you're a saint. And I want to say it's been an honor to be a part of the Tampa Bay area because of you. Uh-huh. And also, in 2 or 3 seconds, for gosh sakes, after you get the ball, how in the world do you figure it out that guy's going to be down there and possibly do a pass interference, and you throw to him, you know, and how do you pick the, I mean, how do you figure all the routes out and all the everything and see who's going to interfere, who might do an interception or whatever? It's amazing to me the way you guys do it, I'll tell you. And I want to listen to your answer. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And
I'll give you an example. Let me ask you this. On the flea flicker, you're looking at the running back because you got to get a ball back thrown back to you, right?
Yeah, and that's.
Do you get a chance to peek downfield real quick before that ball is tossed back?
Yeah, obviously you look at the guys that you need to look at, and I mean he asked about knowing where the guys are going to be and who's going to be open, and this is basically what goes through my head first. You have to go up and you have to figure out your protection. Are your five offensive linemen and your one running back blocking the six guys that are usually coming? I mean, if teams are going to pressure, they usually pressure six guys.
Mm-hmm.
So if your guys – and you got to – a lot of time the protection just picks it up naturally, but sometimes on occasion you have to make a call. And
well, you play a team like the Jets or the Browns,
and they might
have two or three guys overload a side, and you have to slide the protection to that side.
But, yeah, and it definitely it all comes with preparation. It really does. I mean, the time you spend throughout the week – and I guess your accumulated knowledge of your playbook and understanding what you're trying to do, what you're trying to get accomplished, and what routes work versus what defenses. You know, that's really how you know where to go with the ball.
How about setting up? You have a guy run a double move, or you don't, because, you know, an example is a corner that likes to jump a route, and then finally you give him a little pump fake. So sometimes throughout the game, even though you're going for one specific thing, sometimes you're, like Olsen, is dialing up specific plays in the second quarter that he'll use later in the game to take advantage of those situations, that kind of thing?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it really – I mean, you hear it – people call it a chess match. I mean, it's just – I mean, you're trying to run your stuff that works. It really is – I mean, there a lot more goes on than what people see on the field. You know, it really is a mind game between coordinators, between quarterback and the linebacker. And, I'm just happy to have the minds I do helping me play.
It's the Josh Freeman Show, 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620. Bobby and Alan, stand by, coming right at you, right after Skip. Skip, you're on with Josh Freeman.
Josh.
Hey, Skip.
Thank you for being a buck, brother.
Hey, no problem.
Real proud to have you as our quarterback. I'm a season ticket holder, one of the few now, but I'm sure we're going to start to bring some in after you guys come 2-0 off this road trip. But my question to you is, usually a quarterback goes out and buys his lineman steak dinners and all that. My question to you is, what type of relationship off the field do you have with your receivers? Because it seems like you guys are really starting to click. And I think when you guys know where each other's going to be, it goes back to what the gentleman just asked previously, you kind of have a tendency to know where these guys are going to be. And it was a joy. We went down to Miami when you had the preseason game. I sat right next to Preston Parker's family. And I guess that was one of the first games he got to play. And I'm looking forward to him doing some wonderful things. But I'm just curious how you guys interact with receiver and quarterback.
You know, obviously, I mean, I have a good relationship with our receivers, but and our O-line, but with the receivers, you know, I mean, they're all guys that I can relate to. You know, they're all, I guess, in the 22 to 24 years old range. They're all young guys, all guys that are still learning the game, as am I, and it's awesome to come in and work with those guys. But I mean, off the field, I mean, I've hung out with those guys. I mean, once the season gets going, I don't really do a whole lot, I guess, extracurricular activities. But
well, Mike Williams said he kind of
yeah.
You knew what I was gonna say.
Yeah, no. I mean,
beat you at a few 99 pool games or something like that.
I mean, we'll play pool. We'll do stuff just with a little free time, relaxing and stuff. But yeah, and Mike, I don't know how he beats me. I really don't. It's kind of a deal. If he gets a good break and I miss once, it's kind of a game over. But I mean, if he misses twice, I win. So, but he ends up winning.
Everybody has an Achilles. You just got to find out what it is.
Yeah. So I'm actually looking forward to getting that that ratio, that win-loss ratio.
There's a couple other pool sharks, as far as I thought. It wasn't kind of like Williams Court the pool shark, too.
No, he still is.
Yeah. There's a couple of guys that can play some nine-ball and eight-ball around here. All right, Alan and Bobby, we've got to hit a break, but we're going to come right back and talk to you guys. You're first up, and we'll take callers right behind those two guys because we have an open line on Hillsborough at 813-990-4620. And 727-461-4620. Coming back to do the second half of the Josh Freeman Show right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
For almost 30 years, Eckerman Jewelers has said when it comes to fine jewelry, it's not how much you spend, it's what you actually get for your money. Come see the hottest new offerings from around the world, like Italian designer Roberto Coin and the luxurious 18-karat gold design from Marco Bicego. The brand new Raquel Bianco line of sterling silver. The brand new Raquel Bianco line of sterling silver, enamel bangles, necklaces, and earrings featuring Swarovski gemstones. You'll love the excitement that new Tacori 925 line brings, or sterling and gemstone jewelry. No one has the amazing holiday selection of Ackerman Jewelers at 5335 Ehrlich Road, Tampa. Ackerman Jewelers, your engagement ring store, and more.
With the Josh Freeman Show on your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE and US 1035.
Quarterback ratings 90.1 through 9 games, and the 9 games you played last year, your quarterback rating was 59.8. So, you had 10 touchdowns and 18 picks in those 9 games, and this time around for 9 games, you're sitting there with 12 touchdowns and 5 picks. Starting to turn things around there, number 5.
I just consider getting better.
Yeah,
you know, I'm trying to go out, and people talk about all turning things around, making changes, and we're not making any changes. Obviously, we've added a couple new faces, but it's really a matter of trying to perfect their craft. You know, from year one to year two, I would definitely tell you that my understanding of the offense, I mean, it's tripled. You know, I understand the protections. I understand where the ball needs to go. I understand situational football so much better. And that's due in part to my close off-season work and in-season work with Alex Van Pelt, our quarterback's coach, and also our offensive coordinator, Greg Olson.
All right, right back to the phones. Brian, Shane, Bobby, coming right to you guys. Stand by. Alan, you're on with Josh Freeman. Welcome.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'm calling you from Baltimore, Maryland. Josh, it's really been a pleasure to watch you progress over the last couple of years and see how well you've come along as a player. I'm really looking forward to you coming up here and taking care of these Ravens. And on that note, what do you think is going to be the key to? I know you don't like looking ahead that far, but the key to getting past this defense up here.
I have no idea.
Yeah, that's a toughie because you're not even looking at film of those guys yet.
Honestly, I mean, we know they have a great defense, obviously led by Ray Lewis. They got Ed Reed back. But other than that, I have no idea what they're trying to run schematically. You know, I can tell you.
You're more concerned with Patrick Willis and Takeo Spikes in the 49er defense.
I am. I have to be honest, you know. Yeah. I mean, the Baltimore game, it's going to be going to be a tough test, but I'm obviously excited about that opportunity. But I mean, right now I can't even think about Baltimore.
Yeah, that's a tough.
Well, I really look forward to seeing you come up here, man. I really do.
Hey,
you guys are doing a great job.
Thanks a lot. It should be great, man. I appreciate the support. Really do.
Good call, Alan. Appreciate it. Way to bring the Buccaneer love to Baltimore. Bobby, you're on the Josh Freeman Show. Welcome.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
What's up, Bobby?
All right. Hey, Josh, I just wanted to quick comment, an observation, and a question for you.
All right.
The comment is it's a pleasure watching, you know, a big man, you know, a quarterback that can move around a little bit. It's been a long time. The observation, I've been a long-time season ticket holder there and been, you know, the ups and downs with that team. And it seems like this year, as opposed to when you got thrown in the fire last year, so to speak, that in the first half of the game last year, it seems like this year you're reading the defenses a lot better. Last year, you know, we were kind of slow going in the first half of the game until you seen what the defense was throwing at you. Towards the second half of the game, we started moving the ball and scoring some points. This year, it seems like you've definitely, all the hard work that you've put in, you know, what your quarterback rating, the touchdowns are up, the interceptions are down, it's paid off. And my hat's off to you, because I know you work hard, and it's a pleasure to watch some exciting football. The question would be, who, and since, you know, in the games that you've played in, who would you say would be the most peskiest defender that you've come up against? Now, I was over at the Pittsburgh game, and it seemed like every time that Polamalu was sneaking around the corner, and he was in the backfield quite a bit. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that, and keep up the exciting football, buddy.
Hey, thanks a lot. I appreciate it, Bob.
Thank you, Bobby. Good comments.
No, yeah, definitely you definitely have to include, I guess, Troy Polamalu in that list. But it's not really, I guess, for the individual plays he made, but it was just, I guess, the amount of time and the amount of energy in-game exerted towards knowing where he was and making sure he doesn't make a play. You know, we had to make sure that I mean, arguably the best defender in the league wasn't doing what he does, which is picking off passes and blitzing.
There's two of them out there, because he seems to show up in every running play and he seems to show up in every passing play.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. He's – I mean, he's everything they advertise. You know, he makes a lot of big plays.
He's got million-dollar hair, dude. You keep growing yours, next thing you know.
No, I'm
– you're going to get a shampoo
no
deal?
No way.
A shampoo endorsed? No, no.
No, it's all flattering,
right.
Ledge, but no.
All right. Just trying to look out for your career, man. You know that. Jim, stand by. You're on deck, coming to you right after Shane. Shane, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, Shane?
Hey, how you doing, Josh? Shane Tafoya, alumni of Pittsburgh State University, the Gorillas.
All right. Where
your dad played.
Yep.
And I just want to say, hey, I'm glad you're looks like you're taking a leadership role of the team. I think that's great. One question for you is, what do you think it's going to take for the Bucs to hit the playoffs?
You know, that's a good question. You know, obviously, right now we're in a good position, a good striking position, a good position that if we go out and take care of business when our first week of January we finish off versus New Orleans, I mean, we'll be in a – hopefully, you know, we're planning to be in a position where they have to put us in, you know. But at the same time, we do play in a tough division where both New Orleans and Atlanta – have the same mindset. They expect to be in the playoffs as well, and they both have very strong records. But the thing that I guess gives me confidence is we get to play both of those teams again. You know, we played both of them before with not so favorable outcomes, but I mean, I'm just so excited about getting to play them again. You know, you look at New Orleans, that was a game that I feel like we left a lot of points on the field. You know, they came out and looked to give us their best shot, and they won by however many points they won by. But, I mean, I feel like it should have been a lot closer. And then the Atlanta game, I mean, we're 1 yard away from really winning that game.
Sure.
And they're tops in the NFC. So, I mean, we feel like that we are in one of the most competitive divisions in the NFC. But
that just makes you better.
No doubt. And yep. If we can just take care of our business, it's really an in-house matter. If we can go out, continue to prepare, continue to go out and execute on Sundays, I fully expect to be in the playoffs.
I love that. We love that attitude around here. That's great to hear, Buck fans. Donna, Cleon, stand by, coming to you after Jim. Good calls tonight. Jim, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Josh, can you hear me?
Hey, Jim, how you doing?
Fine, sir. I just wanted to thank you for what a fine job y'all are doing. I've been a Buccaneer fan, me and my three boys. I've been taking them since they were young, and now they're grown men. I've been through thick, good times, bad times, and people don't realize, I think, right now what they're missing. They need to come back to the stadium. Y'all are doing a great job. And some of my comments are not so much as questions, but embrace your offensive line because you're going to be a good NFL quarterback. And I think every good NFL quarterback needs a good offensive line. And everybody's working great together. Keep it up. I'm enjoying the games. I'll be there for the Atlanta game. And I reserve a room for all the home games and walk up to the stadium, and I still enjoy it. I appreciate you, and y'all keep up the good work.
Thanks a lot, Jim. I appreciate your, I guess, continued support of the Buccaneers. You know, it's rare to find a true blue fan. And, talk about embracing our O-line. You know, those guys, we have an awesome group. You know, I mean, I do everything I can to keep those guys happy. But, on the flip side, I mean, they take care of me as well. I mean, it's really a great group of guys. And, I'm excited about what we got going. And I appreciate you saying that I'm turning into a good quarterback. And I'm going to continue working until I've accomplished all my goals. So, Jim, thanks a lot for your call.
All right, we're going to go to Cleon. Cleon, you are on with Josh Freeman.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing good. Appreciate the call.
Hey, Josh, I got a question. With this many young players, well, not necessarily just that all you guys are young, but as fans, a lot of times people are quick to talk about, like, fire this guy and fire that guy and fire this coordinator and blah, blah, blah. But, how much of a setback would that be? Like, let's say, I don't think, like, coach should get fired. It's hypothetical. But, if they were just to change coordinators just out of nowhere, like guys like Blunt and yourself, Ben, like how much of a setback is that? Because it seems like guys are just clicking, everyone. It seems like it takes a while for you guys to, you know, everyone to understand fully what's going on. Like when stuff like that happens, how big of a setback or change is that?
You know, it really depends. You know, I'd say it affects the quarterback and the O-line more than anybody. Because the terminology and obviously the receivers have to memorize what routes are running, but the quarterback and the O-line, they make a lot more, I guess, makeshift adjustments. Like it's really on the fly. It's boom, boom, boom. And you have to know the verbiage, the terminology, whatever you want to call it. You have to know it down pat and know, the nuance of the system to go out and be competitive. And so I definitely think that would be a huge setback if we switched to a completely different system. But with that being said, the only reason for that would be sucking. And I feel like that, we're finding a way to win, and we're continuing to get better. And as a young team, you want to keep that going.
I think Jim made a point when he was talking about being a fan for many, many years. If you follow the storyline of your Buccaneers through the ebb and flow all the way to the 70s, 80s, 90s, and you see that, you know, there's an older regime that's gone and there's a new regime came in and they had a dream. They're going to build through the draft. They're going to bring in young talent. Now you know the storyline. Now you're starting to know the names of the players of the play, if you will. And the play includes guys like Greg Olsen and Van Pelt, your quarterback's coach, because it is, the continuity is a word that you don't hear so much in the NFL because if you don't win today, you're fired tomorrow. You really have to. It used to be 3-year building plans and 5-year building plans. A lot of coaches don't get that anymore. They have to turn teams around and win. You guys have that unique opportunity of coming in all under the same coach, all with the same system, all learning together, knowing each other's nuances. And the people that are paying attention to this, seriously, are going to – I keep saying this, it's a couple more pieces of the puzzle together and a little bit more, you know, it's like you're making a stew, bro. You know, you're just kind of cooking that stew. And at the end of this year, by beginning of next year, you're going to be messing with teams. Now, there are going to be teams that are going to go, oh, no, we have the Bucks on our schedule. Because I can remember everybody talking about, oh, you know, there's their Bucks. We'll just pencil in a win here. Well, guess what? You guys are 5-3, and you're bringing it, and you're 400 yards of offense, You had a running back who, you know, again, you threw for a couple more touchdowns. The weapons are starting to all brew in the stew, if you will. And it's fun to see. It's fun to see, man.
Yeah, and I mean, it really is. It's awesome. It's awesome to be a part of. You know, a young team. I mean, we got a lot of young guys on defense stepping up, playing really good football, and you got guys on special teams doing the same thing, making plays. And I mean, with the Buccaneers, it's not a team where it's defensive dominated or offense dominated. I mean, it really truly is. I mean, we really captured the essence of a team.
Look at special teams, man. Look at special teams.
Yeah, it takes all three phases.
That's right.
I mean, to win games, you know, and I mean, it's been fortunate for us that we have great coaches on every side of the ball, and we have guys that take pride in what they do. And as long as you have that, as long as you have the passion, you're going to have an opportunity.
There's a word I was just going to use. I said, you know, every time I watch Cody Grimm play football, I think of passion. I think of someone who maybe is a half a step slower than some safeties, maybe 5 pounds lighter. But, man, there's a kid who loves it, gets it, bleeds it, and that's the kind of passion we're talking about when we talk about the young Buccaneers. So Jim and Cleon, you guys make great points about the up-and-comers known as the Young Bucks. All right, guys, we might be able to sneak a phone call in, running kind of late. Remember, no Buccaneers Total Access tomorrow night because these guys are getting on an airplane to go take on the 49ers, and we'll talk a little about them when we come back on the Josh Freeman Show on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
The Josh Freeman Show continues on your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE at US 1035.
Buccaneers are taking on one of those dangerous teams that don't have too many wins in the win column, but they're still in the thick of it because the four wins leads their division. And by the way, these 49ers lost their first five games, and they are 3-1 in the last four games. So it's certainly not a team you could take lightly. You got Patrick Willis at linebacker. I mean, you know, that's the kind of guy that can, you know, get two sacks and three fumbles in a game. You've got game changers on defense. Young team, too. Young team.
Yeah.
What do you see a lot of when you see them looking at the last couple of games that they've played?
You know, they mix it up. You know, they have a lot of great athletes on defense, and they're not afraid to show it. You know, they feel like they can go out, man your guys up, and be successful. And, I mean, their defense is good. And you talk about Patrick Willis. I mean, he's one of the best guys out there doing it. You know, you watch film on a number of linebackers, and I mean, every week you circle a guy that you say, hey, we got to find a way to eliminate this guy from really wrecking the game. And from an offensive standpoint, you turn on that film and you see number 52 running around, making plays, blowing people up. And, you know, you always got to know where he is.
It's good for you, and it's good for the Bucs, and it's good for Ernest Graham that he'll be suited up. Hopefully, we're talking positively. You know, EG is like one of those guys that, you know, he doesn't make a lot of noise to get noticed. So when he's not there, it's almost like, well, yeah, he's not here. But him and Carnell and LeGarrette, just, again, run the ball, move the ball, hang on to the ball, and you guys go out there and take on a 49er team. You can come back into Tampa. Well, not come back because you'll still have another road game. But you get to that seventh win, and that race to 10 is well within reach, isn't it?
No doubt. It really is. We have six wins. You know, we have seven games to get four more for our goal. But, hey, what I'm saying is why not win all seven, you know? Who says you can't get on a roll starting this week and take this thing all the way into the playoffs? And, I mean, obviously you always have to have big thoughts in mind to win games. You know, you have to believe it before you can achieve it, I mean, as Raheem would say. But, I mean, it all starts with what did you do today to get better? What did you do in practice and in preparation today in the film room to find a way to beat San Francisco? And I feel like we've had everybody doing exactly what they've been doing the entire time, and that's giving 110% in everything they're doing. And when that happens, I mean, Coach Olson says it all the time, I mean, it doesn't guarantee you're going to win, but it gives you an opportunity. You know, you give it everything you got, and that's what the NFL is. You know, there are so many talented players, so many great schemes, so many great players that you're going to have to find a way. There's just every game there will be opportunities. You know, we have so much talent. I have so much belief and the guys that we have on our team and what we're doing, that, I mean, there's going to be an opportunity. Just a matter of players stepping up, making plays.
It's a different name every week, and that's always a great sign, too.
Yeah, that is a great sign.
You know, K2 in the end zone is a great sign. You know, Michael Spurlock with kick returns, Mike Williams making plays. By the way, too, we're running out of time here, bro. We got to close up shop. But you guys are all starting to understand what it's like to play a little dinged up throughout the season, too. So it's always kudos to the guys that are in there playing with the various injuries as well. Yeah. Good show, man. I won't see you next week. Happy Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to you in a couple.
Happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there, man. We'll go out this weekend. Try to do our best. I mean, it's a long way from home, but we're going to do everything we can to get a win out this week in San Francisco.
All right, everybody, we're out of time. Have a great night on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Good night.
You've been listening to The Josh Freeman Show on 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of Buccaneers football.